In the Lab, a Texans podcast that takes a different look at things. Drew Doherty and John Harris have their lab coats and goggles on and the Bunsen burners burning. Here's Drew.
Man, oh man, we haven't done this, John Harris and I, Drew Doherty. We haven't done this in the lab, Texans in the lab, in a long time, 2 weeks or so. And you, things have changed, John.
A little bit. A little bit.
What's that? How's that go in Anchorman? I'm Ron Burgundy. Yeah. Now, we're not going to go over all of them because blah, blah, blah. But you wrote a really good article about a guy named Denico Autry, who there's been some excitement about him. I don't think there's been enough excitement about him.
Yeah.
But you wrote about how he's been a Texans terror, and I thought, yeah, he's had some good games, and I didn't really think much more about it. And then I was like, wait, what has he done against the Texans? So I looked him up. Mm-hmm. I went to Pro Football Reference, and I did the career logs, and then I clicked on Houston Texans. John, if you include two playoff games, because he was a Raider.
Yeah. 16.
Playoff games. He's played 15 times against the Houston Texans. In those 15 games, he has 17 tackles for loss against us. He has 8.5 sacks. He's hit the quarterback 13 times. One thing that I didn't think much of, but goodness gracious, 6 batted passes in those.
I didn't even think about looking at that.
Games and a boatload of tackles. He's nasty. Nick Caserio was on with the boys, Payne and Pendergast, the other morning. Called him all sorts of things in a complimentary way. A bad MF-er.
Yep.
A pain in the ass.
Junkyard dog.
Junkyard dog, by the way, was one of my favorite wrestlers.
Yes, he was.
With the WWF back in the day. Not WWE, WWF. Need to talk about that with Nick Caserio if I ever get him. Yeah.
Yep.
But Denico Autry, going to be fun. Now, Denico Autry is not your prototypical historical 4-3 defensive end. He can do some stuff. He's even better than that. Better athletically suited to play in this defense that D'Amico Ryans, I'm not the first, I won't be the last to jiggle those up, but he's well suited for any defense, especially for this one. He gives you a lot of versatility, and man, I love it. Bad MF-er, said by the general manager, who's very limited usually in his praise for folks. This is exciting, John.
Very much so. In the article that I wrote, what I did was I went back on all my, the article is called Know Your Foe.
Cool.
And I write, you know, keys to the game each time. And so they've obviously changed over the years. So I wrote a little bit more as it went on, some, you know, but you can see what I actually wrote for a playoff game in 2018, for a regular season game in 2021, for regular season games the last couple of years when he was with Tennessee. And in one of them, I put that Nico Autry is, I think, the most underrated defender in the AFC South and probably could have stopped at AFC. You know, I felt like that's how highly I thought of him because I remembered all those games where he had a couple of sacks, where he had TFLs, like, dang it, if we could just block Autry. And we just couldn't block Autry. And now he's a Texan. And you mentioned Nick Caserio and what he had to say. As soon as it happened or shortly thereafter, Jeffrey Simmons, the Pro Bowl All-Pro defensive tackle,
bring that up.
For the Tennessee Titans, tweeted out, "Don't tell me that Nico." He called him Nico, and that's going to get confusing too because you had Nico, Denico, and Miko, and D'Amico. You got all that because the players called and the coaches called D'Amico Miko.
Yep.
And then there's Nico, and now you got Denico.
Yeah.
So that's going to get fun.
Who also goes by Nico? Yeah.
So Denico Autry. He's going to be able to wreck shop. And when Jeffrey Simmons said, paraphrasing, man, don't tell me the Texans got him. Yeah, Texans got him. And so that ends up being a pretty interesting situation when your best player is saying, no, I don't want this. This can't happen. So pretty interesting stuff that he comes to the Texans.
Yeah, that was one thing I wanted to touch on. Also, this morning, we're shooting this on a Wednesday, the 20th of March, the last day of winter. Winter Schminter here in Houston. Anyways, Mike Ford, Cleveland Brown, now a Houston Texan, primarily a special teamer.
Yep.
But he's got a lot of time in the league. He's a very experienced player. Cleveland Brown's official Twitter account today had a nice picture of Ford. Hey, thanks for everything.
Yep.
Thanks for what you brought to the locker room. So teams don't typically do that. I mean, There's a variation. Some teams don't really do anything at all. Some teams do a little bit. That's a pretty significant tweet to send off for a guy who's primarily been a special teamer and not a kicker, not a punter, but, you know, kind of a gunner. That's got me excited because we know special teams is important on this team. We know it's important in general. It's a little, I think there's a bit more of an emphasis placed on it here with the Texans. I like what I'm seeing there with regards to what Frank Ross is going to be able to put out there on the field and in coverage.
Yeah, Deshaun Phillips too. You had two very, very good special teams players because you don't know ultimately that you can bring back everybody that was on your special teams. When you think about, you know, roster churn, for the most part, the roster churn is probably the bottom, for the most part, is typically the bottom, you know, what, 10 to 15 of your roster. And a lot of times that's where it kind of drudges up these, you know, special teams players. You know, Tavier Thomas ended up signing with, I can't remember where he signed, Buccaneers, maybe something like that. So, you know, you have those players that are probably going to churn a little bit, but if you can go find players that you don't skip a beat special teams wise, because obviously, you know, Frank and what he's done with that group, Coach Burnham, what they've done with that group. And now Sean Baker's back on the defensive side. He was with that special teams for a couple of years. So you don't skip a beat, and you bring in Tommy Townsend, who's got better hair than both of us. And so hopefully he, with good cover units, can leave that punt group at a high level. Obviously bring back Kaimi. And John Weeks had signed. I want to say John Weeks signed during the season or something. He re-upped.
Right after. Yeah, like very quickly after.
Yeah, very much.
Thankfully so. Yeah.
So your special teams, hopefully, okay, you're going to have some churn. So when you lose Tavier Thomas, when you lose some others from the special teams, where do you find other players? Well, you bring in, you know, two guys that were instrumental for their special teams from the AFC North, that being Deshaun Phillips from the Ravens and then Mike Ford. And I remember watching Ford with the Browns, and I thought this was interesting. I was taking notice of him during both the regular season and the playoff game. And I don't know if there was anything in particular. It just was like, man, that dude's always kind of in the mix. Like he's around the ball. He's making a tackle. He's just always kind of there. He's kind of a pest. And I just remember Mike Ford. So when we signed him, I thought, oh, I remember that. Now there was nothing really where I was like, oh, there was this player. It just kind of felt like he was always in everything that was going around and going on. And I like that. And obviously people say, well, he ran a kickback against the Browns. Yeah, and ran a kickback against the Ravens too. Doesn't mean that there aren't players from those respective special teams units that can come make your Texans special teams units that much better. So yeah, those are definitely signings. You know, the Autry one, because once the Danielle Hunter happened, all of a sudden everybody's talking about Hunter and, oh man, Hunter's going to make you this. I think the chess piece that Autry is pretty interesting. And I happened to start The Wire with my son. And there's an early episode of The Wire.
Oh, you're talking about the HBO show. Okay.
The HBO show, The Wire.
Okay.
And so there's, you know, we're way behind on it, you know, obviously, cause it was back in the early to mid 2000s.
Oh, you've never seen it before.
But they're talking about chess. They're talking about, you know, the chess pieces and moving them on a board. Well, to me, Danico Autry is one of those chess pieces you can do a lot with that you maybe can't do with other people. You know, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter are probably going to be your starters, but Autry is like, okay, well, hey, Danico, can you move inside on this play? Yeah, I can do that. Can they run the ball on us? Can you play the edge? Yeah, I can set the edge. He can do so many different things. So I feel like once Hunter was signed, that obviously took all the headlines, but I guarantee in this building, they're looking at Danico Autry going, man, he's a chess piece we can use in a lot of different games. Football games, stunt games, chess games. Danico Autry is going to be a really nice chess piece. And I just love the other special teams pieces that go along with it. Like you mentioned, Deshaun Phillips and Mike Ford.
We still have a while to go before OTAs, before training camp, for the season, so on and so forth. Also, the draft is going to be a big part of this. But because of what D'Amico Ryans was inheriting last year, personnel-wise, might we be seeing now a shift personnel-wise on the defensive side of the ball with that front seven and how he's going to deploy things? Because there's an idea, well, who's the starting defensive tackle? And that's a valid concern, but is there maybe a shift, and should we kind of think about it a little differently than we have historically around here? I'm not saying he's going to a 3-4. I'm not saying he's disregarding the defensive tackle, but is there, because of Autry being a chess piece and because of what is out there, might we need to kind of rethink our perception of what his defense is,
well,
and is the way it's deployed?
I don't know if it's so much the Texans, Drew, just as it is what's available now.
Right.
I think I heard Andy Reid say this, read it somewhere. Andy Reid said, hey, look, you know, NFL teams are typically 5 to 7 years behind college teams and even 7 to 10 years behind high school teams. And those two teams, obviously, they function differently. In college, obviously, which feeds the NFL, the reason that there's that impact is you look around. Like, I look around, just take defensive tackle, for instance, and they're still 300-pounders. But most of the prospects on the defensive line are 290 to 299.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of them get above 300. And I think that's a functionality of college football. They're taking bigger guys because offenses are moving so fast and so quick that they're getting away from interior run games and all that kind of stuff and making it kind of a space game. And so you don't want 320-pounders there. Those guys end up going to offense. They end up going to guard. They end up going to maybe even center. They maybe even move to tackle. And now you're looking at defensive tackles that are sleek, 295, 300 pounds. I mean, I go to the Senior Bowl, and they're all 295 pounds. Mike Hall's 280. Gabe Hall from Baylor is 291. You know, Tyler Davis is topping out at 302.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a lot of big. And so my point is, I think what the Texans are doing in some respects is kind of mimicking what's really kind of happening in the world of football, that defensive tackles are really not your Vince Wilforks. There aren't too many DJ Readers anymore. DJ at 330 pounds. They're kind of freakazoids if you find one. I watched one at A&M Pro Day, and McKinley Jackson, 325 pounds, and moves pretty well. But it's basically he and Tavondre Sweat that are kind of the big guys in this draft class. And I think what we're going to have to do as fans is you're not going to have that big run stuffer and then the other kind of quick, sleek 300-pounder, if you will. You might end up having two sleek 300-pounders because that's just what's available now in the world of football. Now, you could at some point say, all right, well, we're going to take that guard in college, offensive guard in college, and turn him into a defensive tackle. But coach doesn't have 3 years to turn that guy into a player. He's got to do that right away. So I think what we're seeing, Drew, is just kind of a microcosm of everything that's happening at the defensive tackle position. And just what's available now really isn't that kind of big run stuffer. Now, getting Fatu Kasi at 320 pounds, that definitely helps.
Mm-hmm.
But those guys are so few and far between.
Yeah.
So how do you change maybe your attack a little bit? How does that kind of come into play a little bit? So we'll see how it does impact the Texans going forward. But I always just find it it's an interesting kind of change just because of what's available, what's out there in the market.
I got an idea, dude. Yeah, you brought up the, would you say 7 years high school it's behind?
Yeah, 5 to 7, yeah.
Well, I think there was a guy in 1982 up in Pennsylvania. I think he was about 40 years ahead of 42 years now.
Yeah.
Ahead of things. I think we're going to see a 6-2 stack defense like the Ampipe.
Stefan Georgievich?
Yeah. I think we're looking at a 6-2 switch.
6-2
right?
stack monster?
6-2 stack monster. What do you think?
Yeah, I'd love it. I'd love it. And then, of course, when the Miami Dolphins come here, they would eat up a 6-2 stack monster. But that said, it's, you know, back then when you
or
did.
Maybe the monster would get.
When you did play a 6-2 stack monster, you needed a monster in the middle. You know, a guy with some size. And we went through that period in football that you could put a guy that was 330 pounds, let him play, you know, Big Grease, Ryan Pickett.
Yeah.
You know, we love Big Grease. He was great.
He's very good for the Texans.
There weren't like as many,
2014, yeah.
There weren't as many teams playing quite the space game back in 2014. But, you know, a lot of those guys are getting phased out. Now, DJ Reader, like I mentioned earlier, he's 330 pounds, but he moves very, very well. McKinley Jackson, 325 pounds, moves very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just be that guy that just clogs gaps. There's great that you can do it, but it just doesn't matter a ton because teams are like, all right, well, we're not going to beat our head against the wall, and you could take that guy out of the game, and away you go. Now, a lot will be said about Tavondre Sweat. He's 366 pounds. What about him? Yeah, well, he matches, you know, athleticism with that size. Like, you sure. See him at 366, and you're like, yo. Now, does that raise his value? Do teams think he's just a two-down run stuffer? and how teams assess him is going to completely change his draft grade. So we'll see. Is he available at 42? We'll see. And we'll see at that point whether the Texans do want to commit themselves to having a little size to go with their athleticism or just kind of following the trend of what's available in the marketplace.
All right. With all that in mind, it's time to do the exercise. What? You and I haven't done the exercise in weeks. And the exercise, if you haven't been with us before, is we go to profootballnetwork.com, their mock draft simulator, because the Texans, they've moved around. They've shed some picks. They don't have a first rounder anymore, but they also got rid of a seventh. They also added a 188. So it's jiggled up. Yep. I've got the thing going. You always want to do seven rounds. You always want to go fast, and you always want to choose the Houston Texans. So the Texans are on the board now at 42. But John, before I tell you who's available, just keep this in mind. Cleveland wants 42 and 188 in exchange for 54.
Oh, and, that's okay.
And right. Next year's second rounder. That's enticing. Oh. So you'd move back 12, and you still have another second rounder this year.
Mm-hmm.
But you're 42 and 188 go. You get 54 and next year's second. And then also on the table, I'm not wild about this one, 42 and a seventh, your 247 for 76. That's a big move back. And Denver's second and Denver's third next year.
Let's get jiggy with it. Let's do the first one.
Okay.
So we're that gonna, first trade.
But before we do, I just want to let you know who's on the board.
Okay.
Wide receiver from Texas, Adonai Mitchell. Penix is available.
Yep.
Tavondre Sweat at 41. He's third on the board. He's available.
Okay.
You also have an edge rusher, Adisa Isaac. Troy Franklin, the receiver from Oregon.
Yep.
Ruka Rororo. Man, this is giving me pause. Edrin Cooper is available as well, and he seems like a killer.
Okay. People know how much I like Edrin Cooper.
Yeah.
Linebacker one in the Harris 100, from 42 overall, ironically, in the Harris 100. My comp for him is Christian Harris.
Mm. Is that too redundant if you were to add a guy like that?
That's exactly right.
Mm, okay. So you don't want him. Okay. Malachi Corley, Leonard Taylor, defensive tackle.
Okay, so what you're saying, you've said about four or five names that I kind of like. So let's make the deal. Let's get that second next year as well. So now we got 3 seconds next year, a first and 3 seconds next year. I like that. So let's do it.
Okay. We've made the deal, and there's another deal brewing with the Browns. They want 54 in exchange for 85, 156, next year's third and fourth. I say no thank you.
No. Let's stay at 54.
Okay. Penix is still available. Tavondre Sweat still available.
Bang it, Sweat. Let's do Sweat.
Over Ruka Rororo?
Yes, let's go Sweat.
Okay, so Sweat.
Let's get some size.
54.
Let's do it.
Pow, he's a Texan. Now we're picking again. You've got 59. Cleveland's back. They want 59 and 238 for 85, 156, 3 and 4. Nah. I say no.
No.
Yeah, and then the Vikings want the same, and they want to give you 108, 129, 157.
Okay.
Then here's 3 and 4. I don't.
Before you say no to that, before you say no real fast, let's hear who's on the board and see if there are few names.
I don't want that, dude.
Okay, we're Coach GMs on this. Cancel it.
Okay. Well, let's hear it out. Okay. Penix is still there. Rororo, Taylor, Jatavion Sanders, tight end for Texas, but he's kind of a move tight end, and the Texans have that.
We have that.
Braylon Trice, an edge from Washington. Max Melton, corner is available.
Ooh.
Linebacker Cedric Gray is available.
I like both those guys. I like Melton a lot.
Raiden Fiske is available from Florida State. Bro Braid, safety out of Maryland. Do you like him?
It's okay. He's a box safety.
Okay, and this is one that makes me pause. Down, he's 70th, but I bet he flies off. Roman Wilson, wide receiver, Michigan.
Roman Wilson, we need wide receiver.
Yeah, okay, so we're not taking the deal. He's not anywhere near like the top of this board, but I like him, and you love him. So
Roman Wilson's a stud. Let's do it.
So we've added Roman Wilson. Mm-hmm. Now we're into the third round, 86. All right, this is an intriguing offer. 86 and 247, which you always want to kind of dump your sevenths, don't you?
Seemingly.
To move back 10 spots to 96 with Jacksonville, and you get their fourth next year. But let me let you know who's available. Marshawn Nealand, an edge, is available.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen McMillan, receiver from Washington, is available. You just took Roman Wilson.
Right.
Do you like Braylon Allen, the running back from Wisconsin? Do you like Trevin Wallace, the linebacker from Kentucky? Those are some possibilities.
Who else you got below that?
Down lower at 90, at 100.
Wait, did you say Marshawn Nealand? Nealand's there?
Marshawn Nealand is top of your board, yeah.
Mm. I like that guy a lot. He would be a steal at 86, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Add to strength to strength.
Okay. So we got that. Now we're dipping into the fourth round. You got a couple there. You got 1, 2, 3. Pick 1, 2, 3. Saints are offering 150, 168, 190. I'm not interested. You've got Cade Stover, one of CJ Stroud's old targets.
Yeah.
Ohio State. He's a tight end, but a move tight end.
Yeah.
Another defensive tackle, Mason with 2A Smith out of LSU.
Mm-hmm.
Dadrian Taylor Demerson, safety from Texas Tech.
Yeah.
Now here's an intriguing name. We've taken this name before and we like it. 117 running back from New Hampshire, Dylan Lobby. And when you have a running back from New Hampshire available on your board, you almost always take it. Isn't that the rule?
That is the rule.
Hard and fast.
That is the hard.
But also rule. Another linebacker from Texas. I don't know if you like him, Jalen Ford. Those are some possibilities. Ray Davis, running back from Kentucky.
I have Ray Davis ahead of Lobby. I would go Ray Davis. Let's go Ray Davis.
Ray Davis is picked at 123. Now, 127 and 238. I like this move here from the Vikings for 129. So you move back two spots and you flip 238 into 177.
Mm-hmm.
Want to do that? So you're picking at 127 and Jared Wiley, the tight end, is still way down on the board available for you. Want to do it?
Yeah, let's do Jared Wiley.
Okay, like so Jared we're taking the deal and then taking Wiley?
Yep, let's do it.
Okay. Oh, wait. Now you got 129 and 247 in exchange for 136 and 203, but I think you miss out on Wiley if you do that.
Mm.
So you want to move back 7, but then move up 43?
No. No, let's not move. Let's just take Wiley.
All right,
let's go Wiley.
Okay. So we've added a big tight end. Jared Wiley's 6'7", man.
He's legit size.
And it seems like all his highlights is him just settling down in space all by his lonesome and catching the ball. Okay. First pick of the sixth round is 177. We've acquired that in a trade. Top of the board right now says Javion Cohen, a guard out of Miami.
No.
Evan Williams, a safety from Oregon.
Yes. I love
like
that.
Him.
Guy.
Okay,
I love
him. You want to do that?
Yes. I love
Texan.
That guy.
He's a Texan. Now, as we cycle through all of our picks, we've got one remaining seventh rounder at 247 overall. Top of the board, tight end A.J. Barner, tight end McCallum Castles, tight end Tip Ryman, defensive tackle Jomri Kroma.
James Madison.
Yep. I mean, there's a bunch of names.
What do you have, a corner?
Well, at corner, and that's one of the fun things, you can go to defense and you can click on cornerback. You've got Micah Abraham from Marshall, Marcellus Dial from South Carolina, Al Blades Jr. out of Duke.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Here's a name, Quantez Stiggers.
Yes.
Cornerback out of the CFL from Toronto.
Do it.
He's probably not going to last that long. Right?
No, I don't think he is.
Yeah, so we'll add him. Okay. Yeah. So our
tremendous story, by the way.
Our draft is complete. To rewind, we trade it back. We've got big, bad Tavondre Sweat.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fullback who moonlighted as a defensive tackle or vice versa.
Yeah.
We've got Roman Wilson, Mr. Separator, out of Michigan. Marshawn Kneeland, he was a guy who fell to us, an edge. Really nice player out of Western Michigan. Ray Davis is a running back that you like a lot from Kentucky. Jared Wiley, an enormous tight end from TCU, a safety in Evan Williams, and a corner in Quantez Stigger, plus next year's Browns second. I think the Browns regress myself, so I think that's going to be a decent pick.
Nice.
Now you have 3 second rounders, but go a little bit more into Quantez Stiggers, please.
He ended up going to the CFL, and for whatever reason, there are some NFL rules such that I guess he never entered a draft at any point. So he's still draft eligible. So he decided, well, okay, I'm gonna, you know, put my name into the draft mix after, I want to say, he was rookie of the year for the Toronto Argonauts in the CFL. Mm-hmm. So he ends up going to the Shrine Bowl, East-West Shrine Bowl, had a really, really good East-West Shrine Bowl. And before you know it, his name is kind of out there as, hey, this guy's got professional football experience. I mean, I know it's the CFL. I know it's a little bit different game.
Maybe but you're a pro.
Really,
if you're a pro,
good.
That matters.
Yeah,
that really matters.
Exactly. When you're a pro, it
it's
absolutely
a different sport,
matters.
Basically, but it still matters.
It absolutely matters. And that's I mean, that's tremendous stuff. So from that standpoint, getting him in the seventh round, I think he's, there are going to be enough teams that are have to dig into his background. You kind of wonder, like, why did he end up kind of going this route? You know, is there something else there? But man, he is a heck of a player, a really, really good player. And one of the best names you're going to find, Quantes Stiggers.
Yes. It's a good, I like it. Good draft. We have a good draft there. So yep.
Very nice. Got. Right. Like it.
John, I love doing these with you.
Yeah, man. It's great
to be with you, my friend.
Yeah.
And we will do this again sometime very, very soon. Sometime practically next week, which is what we'll do. All right. Bye.